You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. I'm Katie Francis with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include New Jersey's commitment to new reopening measures and Markey defeating Kennedy in the Massachusetts primary. But first, here's your national news recap for the week of August 30th. It has been a week since Hurricane Laura made landfall. The Category 4 storm left a long trail of devastation. Governor John Bel Edwards visited the Lake Charles area.
I was very encouraged just by the sheer number of people, the resources that have been brought to bear, the really good work that is being done, the progress that's been made over a seven-day period.
There is still a heat warning for those starting to rebuild. The weather has been over 100 degrees in southwest Louisiana, and the death toll linked to Hurricane Laura went up by 2 this week to 17. Both new deaths were heat-related illnesses. As of Thursday, 212,000 people were still without power in Louisiana. The governor says for those remaining customers in the dark, it will take a while to get back up because they're in areas where the infrastructure was hit hard. About 12,000 people were still in shelters as of Thursday. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany is defending President Trump's threat to withhold federal funding to some major cities. Trump has accused the Democratic-led cities of not doing enough to crack down on violent protests. She told reporters that the federal government is responsible for protecting life, liberty, and property. The cities in question are Portland, Seattle, New York, and Washington, D.C. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is threatening to sue the Trump administration if the president tries to withhold federal aid to New York City. Two civil rights groups in Rochester, New York, are calling for the immediate firing and prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Daniel Prude. Prude died after an encounter with Rochester police back in March, but news of the incident just came to light this week. The medical examiner ruled Prude's death as a homicide, and the autopsy report shows the cause of death included, quote, complications of asphyxia in the setting of physical restraint, end quote. Community Justice Initiative and United Christian Leadership Ministry held a news conference demanding the officers be immediately fired, arrested, and charged with homicide. A Missouri man is going to federal prison for arson at a local health center in Columbia operated by Planned Parenthood. Wesley Castor was sentenced earlier this week in federal court to 5 years behind bars without parole after pleading guilty last November to one count of maliciously using explosive materials. He has remained in federal custody without bond since his arrest last year. Prosecutors say Castor threw a Molotov cocktail into the Columbia Health Center in February of 2019. He admitted that he committed the crime because Planned Parenthood provided reproductive health services at the facility. A seventh service member of the military is dead from COVID-19 complications. The Pentagon did not identify who died or which branch they served in. More than 38,000 military personnel have tested positive for the coronavirus. There have been 50 civilian deaths, 7 dependent deaths, and 20 contractor deaths because of the pandemic. President Trump is urging voters to sign and mail in their ballots as early as possible ahead of the November election. The president tweeted there is a massive amount of unsolicited and solicited ballots going out, and it is up to voters to ensure their ballot gets counted. Trump is once again questioning the credibility of mail-in voting. The Board of Elections chair for Wake County, North Carolina, says voters who vote by mail should not go to vote in person a second time, despite President Trump's suggestion to do so. Speaking on MSNBC, Greg Flynn said there are multiple ways in which voters can check the status of their absentee ballot.
We have three different ways to check whether you voted or not. One, you or anybody can go online and check your voter file to see if your ballot's been accepted.
However, Flynn says they, quote, feel pretty confident, end quote, that they will have absentee ballots counted by Election Day this November. So far, he says Wake County alone, which covers the Raleigh metro area, has received more than 100,000 absentee ballot requests as compared to 28,000 total in 2016. I'm Katie Francis, and that was your national news.
I'm Jack Brennan with this week's political news. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts has won his Democratic primary battle against Joe Kennedy III, marking the first time the Kennedy dynasty has ever lost an election in the state. Kennedy, the grandson of RFK, was attempting to usurp Markey, who has served in elected office for nearly 50 years. Backed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Kennedy led in the polls from the start, leading a campaign focused on social and economic justice. Kennedy also offered generational change, as the 39-year-old was vying for a seat held by the 74-year-old Markey, a man who had served in Congress for more than four decades. What ended up being Kennedy's downfall may very well have been his own name, as critics of the congressman often went after him for his lack of reasoning behind the run. Kennedy failed to provide distinct reasoning behind his pursuit of Markey's seat, other than his own ambition. It also helped that Markey sought the help of popular party members, such as New York's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Ocasio-Cortez highlighted Markey's track record as a champion of progressive causes, citing his support of Medicare for All and his co-authorship of the Green New Deal. However, Kennedy fired back with examples of poor decisions by Markey in his career, including his votes for the Patriot Act, the 1994 crime bill, and the Iraq War. When mail-in voting began in the last month of the campaign, Markey took an early lead, and on Tuesday night, Kennedy's path forward to the halls where his grandfather and great-uncles had roamed was blocked. Markey had earned his spot on the ballot in November. Tuesday also saw President Trump make his way to Kenosha to survey damage caused by civil unrest and to express his support for law enforcement. The visit came 9 days after a police officer there shot Jacob Blake, a black man, 7 times in the back. Flanked by Attorney General William Barr and Acting Homeland Security Director Chad Wolf, President Trump toured some of the buildings damaged by riots which broke out during protests against police brutality. Local leaders objected to the trip, claiming that the president has done more harm than good in regards to the past few months' movement against state-sanctioned violence. Some, like the city's mayor, John Antaramian, raised concerns that the president's visit would further escalate racial tensions in the city. After the president refused to denounce a vigilante who killed two and injured one at the aforementioned demonstrations, many believed Antaramian's worries were justified. That about wraps up this week's political news. For the Rowan Report, I'm Jack Brennan.
I'm Riley Meyer with your local news. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is signing legislation into law that allows people who immigrated into the country illegally to obtain professional licenses.
Very simply, this eliminates a roadblock. There have been many that have been put up against our immigrant families and communities, against our dreamers. This is yet another one that will be removed.
This also applies to the children of immigrants who were brought to the country without documentations, sometimes referred to as dreamers. New Jersey becomes the first East Coast state to pass such a law, while some states have specifically enacted to measure in response to worker shortages in certain industries. Over 200 professions can obtain licenses in New Jersey, including doctors, nurses, manicurists, electricians, nurses, teachers, and professional boxers. Governor Murphy says this gives qualified applicants the opportunity to become licensed.
You still have to meet the qualification for these licenses. The barrier we're replacing is this whole business of lawful presence required in the United States.
Murphy indicates this is a part of his plan for a stronger, fairer New Jersey.
For all of us, this is smart and good for New Jersey, for all 9 million of us who call this great state their home.
The American Dream Mall in northern New Jersey says it will reopen for visitors October 1st. Malls were given the okay to reopen in New Jersey back in late June, but the Mega Mall remains shut because much of the mall involves entertainment. Indoor amusement parks were just given the okay to reopen in New Jersey. Face covering, social distancing, and a number of other coronavirus-related protocols will be put in place at the mall. A New Jersey woman is sharing her story after she was accidentally locked inside a New Jersey transit train that had been taken out of service. Bob Brown reports.
The incident happened last week. Tofa Hosni says she had her headphones on and was zoned out when an overhead announcement said the train had a mechanical problem. The train pulled out of the stop at Newark Penn Station, making its way to a nearby rail yard, where she eventually realized she was stuck. She waited for 90 minutes while NJ Transit police located her and got her out.
It was frightening. It was actually terrifying to go through that because in the moment, I didn't really know what to do.
NJT says they've launched an investigation into why the train wasn't thoroughly checked. Bob Brown, NBC News Radio, New York.
Actor and comedian Kevin Hart is rescheduling this week's shows at the Jersey Shore. The Philadelphia native will now have 7 intimate performances at Monmouth Park's Blue Grotto in Oceanport between September 6th and 8th. The venue is outdoors and seats 400. Just last year, Hart headlined at the Prudential Center to an audience of roughly 15,000. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's confident the state schools are ready to go next week when the classes will start up again for millions of K-12 students.
We all know this will be a school year unlike any other we have ever had. I fully expect that our educators, administrators, and support staff will be at the ready.
Some districts using online learning as part of their approach during the COVID-19 pandemic have already begun classes that way. Murphy reports 434 school districts are following a hybrid approach with some in-person learning. 68 districts are using only in-person instruction, 242 districts have opted to only use online learning, and 22 have a different sort of combination. The governor listed steps being taken like intense cleaning, social distancing, and the usage of masks while saying the state school system is ready for all possibilities.
Requiring masking, proper sanitation procedures, and lessening building and classroom densities. School buildings that meet our guidelines are safe environments for students, faculty, and staff.
Murphy says he's confident New Jersey can avoid the type of school-based outbreaks that other states have reported, with classes starting up again.
Specific health guidance for what to do when a case arises in a school, or if we see a spike of cases, or a cluster in a school. I think it's fair to say that we are ready for all of the above.
Sheltered workshop programs that help the developmentally disabled in New Jersey will reopen thanks to CARES Act funding. Governor Murphy says the programs provide employment, job, and skills training to people with disabilities. Statewide, there are 26 programs operating 28 sites. All have been closed since early March as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Officials along the Jersey Shore are approving a longer beach season. Seaside Heights Mayor William Acker says lifeguards might be on the beach until the end of September. Jersey Shore businesses were hoping for the extension after taking a financial hit as a result of the coronavirus. Officials say visitors are expected to stay past Labor Day this year. I'm Riley Meyer, and that was your local news.
I'm Jack Brennan with your international news. The United States will not be joining the World Health Organization's global push to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. The decision, emerging from the White House, was made in part because of their assessment that the WHO is a corrupt ally of China. As the Trump administration believed the organization initially helped Beijing cover up the outbreak and spread of the disease, the decision to not shocked few in the internet, with the U.S. isolating itself from other members of the global group in 170 countries. The development and deployment of a vaccine is expected to take several more months at the minimum. White House spokesman Judd Deere explained that the United States will continue to engage with their allies abroad, but noted that they did not want to be constrained by a multilateral organization. Also in coronavirus news, India has found itself as the new epicenter for the disease. The Asian nation is now facing some 3.5 million cases, with tens of thousands of new cases being confirmed every day, putting them ahead of both the United States and Brazil in terms of infection rates. Though the U.S. still leads with total cases and total deaths, 6 million and 185,000 respectively, India has now been impacted like many other countries around the world, economically. India's economy shrunk by roughly 24% in the first quarter of the fiscal year, meaning that India had its worst economic performance since its government began releasing GDP figures in 1996. Despite their extensive lockdown efforts in the early weeks of the pandemic, India has seen a massive surge in cases and its future, like many other nations, remains in jeopardy. The United Arab Emirates has officially ended its boycott of Israel in the first of many steps meant to normalize relations between them. Following a U.S.-brokered deal earlier in August, the UAE's ruler, Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan, issued the decree, which allows trade and commerce between the two nations. The decree formally allows Israelis and Israeli companies to do business with the Seven Kingdoms, and according to state media, is intended to incentivize cooperation through the promise of economic stimulation and technological innovation. On Monday, the first commercial flight from Israel to the UAE took place, further solidifying their country's decision to collaborate. More than 36 crew members and some 6,000 cows are now missing after a ship vanished off the coast of Japan. The ship, Gulf Livestock 1, was navigating from New Zealand to China when it encountered typhoon-level seas and capsized. According to the only known survivor, a distress call was put out early Wednesday morning, and the Japanese Coast Guard quickly responded. The search for the 450-foot livestock carrier is still underway, though nothing from the ship has yet been recovered. Sereno Edvarodo, The incident's lone survivor claims the ship lost an engine before capsizing, and that he saw no one else in the water after it went down. I'm Jack Brennan, and that was your international news.
I'm Peter Costantino with your Rowan Report Health Update. This week saw sweeping changes after weeks of no new reopening measures by the NJ government. On Monday, Phil Murphy announced that indoor dining can finally resume. Restaurants across the state will be able to open for indoor dining at 25% capacity with social distancing and masks between tables. Murphy also announced movie theaters and other entertainment venues may reopen, also raising the indoor capacity limit for gatherings. Governor Murphy also announced the reopening of gyms with the same capacity restrictions as restaurants, and all gym-goers must wear a face mask at all times. Logs are to be maintained for all members and staff, gym equipment must be spaced adequately apart, and locker room showers will not be open. I'm Peter Costantino.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up the entire week's national, political, international, and local news. We're going to take a quick break. Next up, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Katie Francis, along with the Rowan Radio News Team.
I'm Garrett Early with your Rowan Report Sports Update. Hall of Fame guard Steve Nash has signed a four-year contract to become the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. The news comes to a shock the most as the Hall of Famer comes with near no coaching experience. Nash has recently worked as a consultant for the Golden State Warriors since his retirement in 2015. During that time, Nash built a relationship with current Nets forward Kevin Durant, a two-time NBA Finals MVP for Golden State. Sources told ESPN that Nash has been pursued in several capacities since his retirement in 2015, including front office and head coaching opportunities. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers continue to go all in on the 2020 season as they've picked up former Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette. Nearly 1 month after signing six-time Pro Bowl running back LeSean McCoy, the Bucs reached an agreement Wednesday night with the former Jacksonville Jaguar. The agreement is for 1 year and could be worth up to $3.5 million with incentives, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Fournette was waived on Monday by the Jacksonville Jaguars after three seasons. The Jaguars had declined to pick up his fifth-year option in May and unsuccessfully tried to trade him. Fournette had his best statistical season in 2019, rushing for a career-best 1,152 yards and catching 76 passes for 522 yards with three total touchdowns. After one of the craziest 9 months in history, college football is finally back. Not exactly a primetime matchup between two powerhouses as Austin, PA and Central Arkansas matched up last Saturday. However, that game might be more important than any game played this season. Central Arkansas defeated Austin, PA 24-17 in the FCS Kickoff Classic. It is also the first game in the COVID-19 era. Following the win, another victory came off the field as almost a week later, no positive tests has came from either side. I'm Garrett Early with your Rowan Report Sports Update.
I'm Peter Costantino with your Rowan Report Business and Technology Update. From Washington, D.C., Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao is announcing a new phase of the U.S. Autonomous Vehicle Initiative that will be public-facing.
It encourages developers to exercise better, safer practices. And it provides clarity on AV testing for communities all across the country.
Speaking at a virtual webinar, Chao said the new platform will showcase data submitted by participants and unlock valuable information on testing vehicles. She said that autonomous vehicles have the potential to save thousands of lives and restore mobility to elderly people. However, Chao noted that the AV technologies are not yet advanced enough to deploy autonomous vehicles in a widespread manner. ExxonMobil is allowing customers to pay by voice at the pump. They're partnering with Amazon's Alexa to make it possible for customers with Alexa-enabled cars, devices, or users with the Alexa app to pay for gas. Alexa will ask to confirm the gas station location and pump number before allowing the pump to be used. The new function sends the charge through the Amazon Pay and can be used at more than 11,000 stations across the United States. China is getting in the way of a possible deal for U.S. companies to acquire TikTok. The Wall Street Journal reported that Microsoft, Oracle, and Walmart were close to a deal to purchase the popular social media app. However, China placed new restrictions that complicated the talks. President Trump has said he will ban the app by Chinese company ByteDance if it's not sold to U.S. interests by mid-November. He says he's concerned about the Chinese government obtaining the personal data of millions of Americans. Amazon's fleet of delivery drones are cleared for takeoff. High-flying details from Mark Mayfield.
The Federal Aviation Administration said on Monday that Amazon Prime Air is now certified to expand unmanned package delivery. That means the company's delivery drones can carry small items beyond the operator's line of sight. Amazon is going to start by delivering packages 5 pounds or less to customers' doorsteps in outlying areas. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
I'm Peter Constantino with Rowan Report Business and Technology.
And now it's time for your weekly entertainment recap with me, Brandon Searles. The world was shocked this week after the news of Chadwick Boseman's passing. Boseman, known best for his role as Black Panther, passed away at the age of 43 last Friday due to complications with colon cancer. Only a few members of Boseman's life were informed of cancer diagnosis back in 2016. However, Boseman made sure to make the most of his life, gracing us with 10 movies, including Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, and 21 Bridges. Boseman's last movie role will be released later this year, titled Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Multiple COVID cases have already paused production on the new Batman movie only 3 days in. Star Robert Pattinson has been tested positive for the virus himself, and director Matt Reeves claims that only a quarter of the movie has been finished. Filming was expected to finish in 3 months, although it looks like the October 2021 release date could be pushed back even further. Dwayne Johnson and his family have also tested positive for COVID-19. The superstar actor shared that he, his wife, and his two daughters, aged 4 and 2, all have been sick with the virus. Thankfully, Johnson shared that he and his family have all been feeling better. Johnson said that he and his family contracted the virus from family friends, who he said are devastated that they accidentally spread the disease to the Johnson household. The Jumanji star then added some advice, saying, "Don't let your guard down. Boost your immunity with antioxidants, vitamins, and things of that nature." Magician David Blaine pulled off a stunt that only a Pixar movie could imagine, flying over the Grand Canyon with about 50 helium balloons on Wednesday. The stunt, titled Ascension, took an hour to pull off, and he reached an altitude of nearly 25,000 feet. The release date for The Mandalorian Season 2 was released this week, and it looks like it's closer than fans expected. The second season of the hit Star Wars TV series is expected to hit screens on October 30th on Disney+. The first season of the show quickly became a fan favorite back in November 2019, with Baby Yoda becoming more of a hit than the show itself. The show is also nominated for multiple awards, including 15 Emmys. The full list of celebrities for season 29 of Dancing with the Stars was released this week, and it is a mind-bending one, with one of the most surprising stars being Tiger King accused killer Carol Baskin. Other stars include Backstreet Boys AJ McLean, Disney Channel star Sky Jackson, rapper Nelly, and NBA star Charles Barkley. Tyra Banks will be taking over as host on September 14th. The 2020 VMAs premiered Sunday night with tons of socially distanced performances, including The Weeknd, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, and the Black Eyed Peas to finish off the night. Lady Gaga snagged 5 awards for the night, including the new Tricon Award, as well as Taylor Swift making history for first solo female winner of the Best Director Award for her music video, The Man. New to Netflix this week includes 2 new original TV shows, Away and I'm Thinking of Ending Things. New music includes new Billy Ocean, The Struts, Sheryl Crow, and The Rolling Stones. I'm Brandon Searles, and this has been your weekly entertainment recap here on Rowan Radio.
And that wraps it up for this week's edition of The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. For the Rowan Radio News Team, I'm Katie Francis. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Rowan Report, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.